Lord, you are marvelous, you're glorious, so wonderful to me. Oh, what a great God you are. Lord, you are marvelous, you're glorious, you're wonderful to me. Oh, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Oh, for the nations, Father of every generation, people everywhere, stand and declare he's a mighty God, a mighty God. Oh, for the nations, Father of every generation, people everywhere, stand and declare he's a mighty God. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are. Hallelujah, what a mighty God, what an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are. Hallelujah, what a great God you are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just feel a mighty God deserves a mighty praise.
Amen.
Is there anyone else worthy of me exerting myself? Is there anyone else worthy of my time, my energy? Is there anyone else worthy of me coming, lifting my hands, lifting my voice, clapping my hands? Hallelujah, what a mighty God. What an awesome God. Oh, Lord, you are.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, what a great God you are.
Thank you, Lord.
Angels bow before you. Heaven and earth adore you.
Worship your name, God.
What a mighty God we serve.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, why don't you give him some mighty praise right now? Why don't you lift your voice? Why don't you clap your hands? Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. 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 I don't know. You know me, I kind of like to use my imagination a little. And I wonder, I just wonder that when Paul and Silas were in the Philippian jail, the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. I wonder that, I don't believe they were being pious. I don't believe they were being real quiet. The Bible said the prisoners heard them. So they weren't just having this little, you know, whispering praise. I believe that they were praising. They were lifting their voice. They were singing. But I just wonder if maybe when they started to feel the shaking, when the earth began to tremble, I wonder if maybe their voices began to elevate a little bit. Maybe they're saying, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord. We worship you. And then started rumbling. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, Lord. I worship you. I lift you up. And then begin to say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's right that we come into the house of the Lord and lift our hands and lift our voices. And as you feel the moving of the Spirit, you know the presence of the Lord is here, and you begin to elevate your praise. I begin to lift my voice. I begin to lift my hands. I've seen it happen numerous times where it started like this, and there was just a little movement, a little emotion expressed. But then it began to elevate a little bit, and the hands got a little bit higher, and the face got a little bit more contorted, and the tears got a little bigger and started flowing a little more frequently. And then all of a sudden, the hands began to stretch outward, and then some trembling and some shaking began to take place. And as they begin to elevate their praise, something begin to happen on the inside. Woo! Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. See, I've experienced those moments, and I'm grateful that I have. Maybe it started out in just a simple prayer, just talking to the Lord, but then something began to come over me, and I began to feel a little bit more exuberant, and maybe my voice began to elevate a little bit, and I began to pray a little harder and a little forcefully. And all of a sudden, I started being able to form my words. I was saying how I thought I should say, and then all of a sudden, something begins to break forth, and oh. There is no feeling, no feeling, like the feeling of being in the presence of the Lord and knowing that Almighty God is in your midst. Thank you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. We want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. This coming Saturday is our harvest party, and there's been a lot going on around here in preparation for that. And along with the preparation and the cleaning and building and constructing and everything that's gone on, we would be remiss if we didn't also pray that God would use it as an opportunity to reach the people. I've been out in the community here of late, and I've had people come up to me and say, hey, you guys doing the soup thing this year? And I can proudly say, yes, we are. Please come. Love that. I take a little time, say, yeah, we're going to have a little Bible walk through, and you never know. You never know. I'll be honest with you, I realize there may be some detractors from it and say, well, you can't mix the holy with the profane. I understand that, but understand we're not trying to offer something that is in line with the world. We're using it when a time when the community is going to be out and people are going to be out and about. We're using the time to get them to come through the doors of the church, spend some time around the people of God. And if it takes a community event or something that is done in order for us to facilitate that, so be it. Use it for God's glory. Amen. So we need your help in that. And there are just a lot of things going on this coming weekend. Just want you to be aware of that. Be reminded we will not have PM service next Sunday night. Do remember to set your clocks back this coming Saturday. You might want to do it before you go to bed. And you'll be delighted when you set that clock back and you realize you get an extra hour. Those of you who love sleep, I should get a real big amen from my wife on the keys right now. She said, what? And so just wanted to remind you of that. I want to do something a little bit different here tonight. I asked Sister Christy earlier this morning if she would be willing to just comment. Her and Sister Sue Ann were able to go and be a part of the ladies' conference that happened this Friday and Saturday. And so I asked her if she'd take just a few moments and just testify about being a part of that meeting and just kind of hopefully whet the appetite of some ladies for being able to go and be a part of it next year. And so, Sister Christy, would you come and just take a few moments? And why don't you clap? Come on, you can come on. She thought she was doing it from back there, so shocker.
Well, I'm thankful for the privilege to have gotten to go. It's always a blessing to go to the ladies' retreat. And before even going, I got to thinking about a message that Brother Wells had preached some time back about good gifts and how God gives us good gifts. And I thought about what's going to happen at this ladies' retreat. And in Corinthians 12, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these work at that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." And I believe at the end of the chapter it says, you know, to desire spiritual gifts. It says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." And at this ladies' retreat, having over 1,000 women there and the preaching and things, the message or the theme of it was to restore. And Sister Jessica Marquez preached first, and she preached on the Lord saying, "I will restore that the locusts have eaten." And that was very encouraging for me, because that's often my prayer, that the Lord will restore my children back to that relationship that they need with Him. Sister Rachel Calltharp, she ended up filling in for Sister Bernard. And if you've never heard Rachel speak, it is such a blessing. I've only heard her a few times. I've heard lots of little mini things, you know, and read some of her blogs and stuff. But she's very down-to-earth, very transparent. She is very serious in a very loving way. She's very firm, but she also can have you laughing the next moment and crying the next moment. So that was a real blessing. And I would just encourage the women to try to go if they can. It really is a blessing. And in that group of, I guess back to my point, in a group of that many women, these things happen in that size of a group. You know, there are some that are going to receive healing, and some are going to receive the Spirit for the first time. We had 3 women Friday night receive the Holy Ghost. They're going to receive a measure of faith, you know, or a word of wisdom. There's just all kinds of things that people are receiving all over the building, and it's just a blessing to go. So if you can, you know, try to go in the future.
Thank you, Sister Christy. Why don't you stand to your feet? I would add into what Sister Christy said, and I have had the opportunity to be at numerous conferences, men's conferences, general conferences, that sort of stuff. And though I do not believe in living from conference to conference, I understand it's a daily walk, and I know those that's not at all what she was saying, but in the sense of being able to go and see that many women gathered together, believing together, going through some of the same struggles, dealing with some of the same issues, yet they're there for one reason, to receive from the Lord, to be blessed and to be a blessing. And any time you have opportunity, I'll put a plug in for the men If you can at all arrange your schedule to be a part of the men's conference happening here in just a couple weeks, just some dynamic speakers. Brother, our general superintendent, Brother Bernard, is going to be speaking, one of the speakers, Brother Wayne Huntley. And if you have opportunity to go and be a part of that, I encourage you to do that. I know some of you work in that area, so if you could leave work and go straight over, that's fine. But if you want to ride with us, any and all are available to ride with us. We're probably going to leave here around about 6 o'clock on Friday the 13th, and we'll get over there hopefully in time to be there for all of the service. But it's completely free. There is no registration cost. I would say this, though, out of the goodness of your heart, bring the giving to the offering, for that's one of the ways in which they support it. And then we will all always like to have a good time of fellowship afterwards. And so we'll probably venture over to Denny's, as we have done in previous years, and get a bite to eat. But we just encourage you to be a part of that. Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5, begin reading in verse number 1. I apologize to the multimedia guys. Normally I provide them a list with title and scripture, and I was back and forth, not really sure where the Lord was going to lead me, but in prayer before service, I felt to go in this direction. And so with the help of the Lord, I won't be long, but I want to maybe bring something out of the story and help us in the sense of serving God and allowing His Spirit to do what it would want to do in our lives. Mark chapter number 5, begin reading in verse number 1. They came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Everybody say unclean spirit. Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. See, it was wow. It was wow. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God?" Now I want to draw your attention to this fact. This man did not know who Jesus was, but the spirit inside the man knew who Jesus was. It is essentially the Spirit speaking. We know that because as we continue in the verses of Scripture, after he says, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." Jesus was not coming to torment the man. Jesus was coming and addressing the Spirit. "For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit." Jesus addresses the spirit, and he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He did not give his given name. The man did not, whatever his name was, we do not know what the man's name was. The Bible does not say. But the man says, "My name is Legion." You're asking for my identity. Here it is. "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh into the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They were afraid. Can I make this assertion? Can I say that in this passage where we read in Mark chapter 5, we never hear the man speak? I don't find in this passage in Mark where the man himself says anything. The conversation and the dialogue that takes place according to the verse of Scripture, I have no doubt that there was conversation that took place once the legion of devils were cast out of the man. I have no doubt that there, he's sitting with Jesus, there was conversation that took place. But the Bible lets us know that when there is dialogue taking place between Jesus and this man, it is not the man speaking. Is the spirits. As I've often said, the Bible, I believe, reveals things often by contrast. I was listening to this passage in my Bible reading, and just kind of jumped out at me, something I had never seen before. And it's as if the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "See, it's the Spirit that speaks." And it began to dawn on me. Wait a second. As it is in the other world, when someone is possessed, they have supernatural ability. They have supernatural power. They bound him with chains and fetters, but it could not bind him. He would break them, and no man could tame him. He was wild. Was out of control. He cried out day and night. He made his home in the tombs and in the mountains, and he cut himself with stones, and he was doing all sorts of weird stuff, and he was doing all sorts of, one might say, supernatural stuff. The reason why we understand is because he had spirits inside of him. Those spirits spoke for him. Those spirits gave their identity. And I wondered, is it possible that this man was so possessed of devils that he had lost his own identity? And it was the spirits who spoke for him. And then I thought on the other side, I wonder if I could become so possessed with the power of the Holy Ghost in my life that it's the Spirit that speaks expressly for me. That my identity is lost in the Holy Ghost. What I feel and what I think and what I want pales in comparison to the power of the Holy Ghost working in me. So with the help of the Lord, I want to preach. I know he said, well, he's going to get out there. When the Spirit speaks. When the Spirit speaks. Why don't you bow your heads and pray, Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for the opportunity to be here in your house, to lift you up and to magnify your name that is above every name. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and open our minds to receive your word, to understand that we can see by contrast, Lord, what takes place when a man who was so possessed of devils, Lord, that he had his no longer had his own identity. He did things that were outlandish and weird and out of control and manifested supernatural ability, all because he was under the influence and power and possession of an unclean spirit. And I would that we would realize on the other side of that coin, there is an opportunity for us in the power of the Holy Ghost to allow the Spirit to speak for us, to allow ourselves to be so identified with the power and presence of God that we lose what we want, that it's not us speaking but the power of the Holy Ghost speaking through us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask you. Everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. No doubt it was a very unique experience for those that were there that day. those that had for a long time been traumatized by this man and his antics, and they had seen this man, and we don't know what had existed in this man's life prior. We don't know what had happened to him, at what point he had become possessed of these devils. We don't know. The Bible doesn't give us the background of this man or how he came to be possessed of these devils. We are brought into the scene and on the stage when Jesus comes to this land, this country of the Gadarenes, and when he was come out of the ship, the Bible says, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. It is as if the God of heaven, we understand Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh and had the fullness of the Godhead within him. And when he stepped on the shore, the man had no choice. The man, in complete subjection to the spirit, immediately runs out and meets Jesus. It's a confrontation in the spirit. It is a battle, if you will, between the holy and the profane, between good and evil. And this man realizes he has more than met his match in the one that has come. For he willingly acknowledges, "What have I to do with thee, thou Son of God? I understand you have made your presence here in this territory, and I am an underling. I am subjected unto you. What have I to do with thee, thou Son of God?" I wonder if maybe if those that were there that day, I wonder if many times when stuff begins to happen that is odd or in the sense mystical, I wonder if like I believe probably would have happened for me, I wonder if maybe the hairs would have stood up on the back of my neck. I wonder if I'd have had that eerie feeling that something was going on. I can remember one time distinctly where I felt without a shadow of a doubt a spirit of evil. It was some years ago. It was right before, a week before, if you will, a week before Katrina hit the New Orleans area. And I was there visiting a friend of mine, and he took me down to what is a place called Jackson Square in New Orleans. And as I exited the vehicle and began to walk into Jackson Square, I felt an uneasiness. I felt something in my spirit, and I begin to look at individuals that sat there with their crystal balls and with their tarot cards and doing their readings, and individuals that had the look upon their face, and I realized, wait a second, there is something spiritual here. There is a spiritual domain that I have just walked into, and I realized right away those individuals recognized something different about me. Many of them, their eyes would not leave me as I made my way past them, and I'm not trying to in any way, shape, or form put kind of spiritual upon me, but I believe I am blood bought. And blood registers in the spirit world. And I believe that as we made our way in our little group, I believe that they recognized and they understood, wait a second, there's a spiritual difference that has made its way into this place. I wonder if that day there were those that stood there, and as this man was completely possessed of devils, and the devils began to speak for him, began to say, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High God? I adjure thee by God. I plead with thee. I ask thee, torment me not. Don't do what I know you can do." I realize when it comes to the power scale, I'm way down here and you are way up here. So I adjure thee, torment me not. Please don't drive me away from this country. Please don't do what I know you can do. I beg, I adjure thee, I plead with thee, don't send me out of the country. As I begin to look at the story, and I begin to see this man, and my heart begin to weep. I begin to grieve for this man. He was so completely possessed of devils that he was harming himself. The Bible says he was cutting himself with stones. Let's just be real for a moment. There is and has been for some time. I don't know if you know this or not, but it is something that has crept into the younger generation. And many times when they are displeased or they upset or they are distressed, they will do what is called cutting. They will begin taking, some of them will take razor blades, other them will take sharp instruments, and they will begin to cut themselves. I begin to grieve in my heart. There are so many people that they don't even realize of what spirit they are of and what they entertain. And then I begin to think, maybe it even goes beyond that. Could it be that there are many individuals that don't even realize it when they speak and when they say what they say, even though they would quote and say, oh no, I'm not possessed of any devils or I don't have any spirits upon me. But I would beg to differ that many times those individuals, when they speak and maybe it's a word that is prideful, and maybe it is a word that is dividing, and maybe it is a word that somehow kills. I would argue that often this is spirit speaking. Come on, Pastor, you're getting all mystical. You're getting all crazy. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm tired of dwelling in the shallows. I'm tired. If I'm going to get in this thing, I want to get in over my head. I want to get in where it's deep. For deep calleth unto deep. And as I begin to read this story, I begin to think, wait a second. The man himself never speaks. It's never him. He was so completely in control of the devils. Did they dictate is every word? Then I begin to think, oh, so wait a second. We find the other side of that. Peter tells us that when it comes to the Old Testament, that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I begin to think when Isaiah and Jeremiah, when they began to speak and they began to utter prophecies, it was not them speaking. Oh, I know it was their voice, and I know it was their facility of speech that was being used, but in reality, it was subjected as the power of the Spirit began to move through them, and they began to speak. They would speak things that would not happen for hundreds of years sometimes, and they would begin to speak prophecies concerning the Messiah. So I started seeing the picture. I started understanding. Wait a second. It's now making sense to me. I see and I can understand by contrast this man who was full of unclean spirits and had a legion of devils, so much that his identity was wrapped up in the devils. For when Jesus asked him his name, he says, Legion, we are many. See, Jesus knew what he was doing. Jesus knew what he was addressing. Jesus knew that the man was complete. I was reading a story. I just finished it. I was telling my wife about the story. It was about a kid who grew up and he had two deaf parents. And it's a long story, but let me just kind of break it down for you. And this kid, parents divorce, and he falls in with the wrong crowd, and at 12 years of age, he starts drinking. 13 years of age, he starts smoking pot. 13. At 15 years of age, he's in rehab. He goes through three rehabs. He gets to the point, blow your mind. He gets to the point that he sees anything other than getting high and getting drunk as pointless. He becomes so enamored with becoming high and becoming drunk. He doesn't even leave his room to go to the restroom. His mom, at her wit's end. He's been in and out of numerous schools. The school system is done with him. They don't want to do any more. They don't want to try to help him anymore. He goes to another rehab and he gets into a fight with a girl in the rehab, and the group session, they're going to kick him out. And his mom comes to all the meetings and she's trying to help him, but she's
kind of off herself. His mom is deaf, and she's ultra-liberal, and his dad is deaf, and he's become a Hasidic Jew, and he's ultra-strict, and this kid is torn, and this kid is feels like he has no place, and the only place he's accepted is among a bunch of other rejects. Goes to this rehab, and I'm reading this story, and I'm finding myself working, and I'm weeping because I'm feeling for this kid. Nobody else can see it, and he lashes out in anger, and he says all types of atrocities against people, and he goes to this rehab, and they finally say, "You can't stay here. You have to go." His interpreter, the one who's signing and helping communicate between the people and his mom, stops him. He says this to this young man. He says, "I was years ago in your place, and I know that I could lose my job because I'm only supposed to interpret objectively, and I'm not supposed to give you any advice, but I hope you won't turn me in." He says, "But I want you to know I was in the place that you were in. But now I'm 13 years sober." Then he makes this statement. Hit me. He looked at the kid. Been in and out of rehab, been in and out of jail, had all these different things in his life, and he looked at him, he said, "You're not a bad kid." He said, "You're sick." This kid said, "For the first time in my life, somebody saw me. Somebody knew. Somebody knew I had been trying every night for the past 2 years to quit, crying myself to sleep, wanting to stop. But every morning I would wake up and go back to the bottle. And every morning I would find a way to steal and cheat and lie to somehow get my fix. And nobody could see me, but this man saw me. No. I begin to think, Jesus, though he addressed the demons and though he addressed the unclean spirits, Jesus saw the man. Jesus understood. You can't even speak for yourself. You can't even utter your own sentence. You were so sick with unclean spirits. You were so possessed with devils. But guess what? I've got the power and the ability. Here's the thing, folks. You just have to understand where I'm coming from. There are many people who walk in this world and they don't even realize it. And when they speak a word against you or they speak something that defames you and ridicules you, you need to understand. You need to be sympathetic to the spirit that is allowing itself to be manifested through them and say, "Wait a second. It's not about you. It's about what you're allowing to speak through you." See to the source. See to the source. As I preached some weeks ago, it's about the origin of a thing. It's about where it springs from. And this man had become so possessed that everything came from the spirits. Now here we are. Completely do a 180 on you. What about when the Spirit speaks on the other side? What about those moments when you're sitting with someone and you're talking with them and you really don't know what to say, but then all of a sudden you do? What about when you're in the middle of a conversation and you're wondering, "Man, I wonder how I'm going to be able to minister to this person, and I wonder what I'm going to be able to say," but then all of a sudden something comes to your mind and you begin to speak it and you realize, "Wait a second, that wasn't me. That didn't come from my own mind. That came from another source. That came from another place. That came from somewhere else." Do I recognize at that point in time that it is the Spirit speaking? It may be using my faculty of speech, but I've come to understand, wait a second. See, that's why we teach, we preach, we believe. That's why we can show. Would it not make sense that when someone received the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their life, that the power of Almighty God has to be? The Bible says it is the Spirit that gives the utterance. That's why Jesus looked at the disciples. He said, don't be afraid when they deliver you up and you're set before the magistrates. Don't be afraid. Don't worry what you're going to say, because the Holy Ghost shall give you in that hour what you need to say. What are you saying, Jesus? When you're subjected to it and you're submitted to it, the Spirit will speak for you. But here's the problem. The problem is we don't subject and we don't submit. We don't give ourselves over to it. Think about the other side. This man had so subjected and submitted himself that he was able to do supernatural stuff. He was able to take chains and fetters and break them off his body. He was able to do things that astounded them. But all on the other side, would it not also be that when someone who allows themselves to be a faculty of the power of the Holy Ghost, that they would have opportunity and availability and ability to do supernatural things? Jesus said, these works shall you do, and greater works than these shall you do. What's all this about, preacher? Why are you preaching along these lines? Because when I look at both sides of the table, if you will, and I look at a man who is completely and utterly possessed of devils, yet he himself didn't even speak. I wonder what it would be like. I wonder. You see, I've been in those moments where I've lost my ability to speak, where what comes out of my mouth, I don't really understand what. Tonight, as we were down here praying, Landon came down and he was beside me. And we have this thing we do sometimes in the car. We're going along and I'll put the Seek on the radio and we'll sometimes end up on a Latin channel where they don't speak English. Kids love it, man. We don't have a clue what's being said. Sometimes we'll get in the car and they say, Dad, put on the Spanish channel. Here tonight, praying and praying over my son, and I'm praying, God, help him, lead him, guide him. Praying, and begins to grip my heart. And begins to elevate a little bit. The power presence of God, and praying over my son. I begin to think, I want my children to know what possesses me. I want my children to know what facilitates me. And as I begin to pray, all of a sudden, I begin to speak. Not my own tongue, and not my own language. And I heard little Landon beside me. He goes, what? I'm kind of tickled. I'm like, you're ruining the moment, bud, but I'm continuing to pray, and I hear him again. What? Now he has completely ruined the moment, if you will. And I look down. I don't know what to do. I just kind of smile at him, and he looks at me and goes, Dad, why are you speaking Spanish? I said, buddy, I don't know whether or not that's Spanish. I kind of highly doubt it. I said, but sometimes when Daddy prays, he begins to speak in a language he doesn't understand. You see, I believe that something's happening in the spirit realm when we begin to pray and talk. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that sometimes we're commanding angels, and I believe that maybe as I was praying over my son, as I began to speak a language I did not know. Maybe the spirit world knows something might happen to him tomorrow, and I'm praying over him, and I'm giving instructions to angels. maybe you think this is weird, but I believe that things happen in the spirit realm. And I want to be so possessed of the power of the Holy Ghost that the Spirit speaks for me. Because there's sometimes I don't know what to ask for. There's sometimes I don't really know how to pray. There's sometimes I don't know what's coming down the road tomorrow. But the Holy Ghost does. And when I let the Spirit speak, there's some that think it's all gobbledygook, but I believe on the authority of God's word, it's the tongue of angels. I believe there's spiritual stuff that takes place when the Spirit speaks. You know what? Myself time and time again, I'm not trying to manufacture stuff up, but I want my kids to understand, and I want my kids to know it ain't always daddy speaking. There's sometimes when daddy allows the power and presence of God to thrill and fill his soul, and it becomes so wonderful he can't put it into his own words. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man those things that God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us through his Spirit. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. I understand. Mr. Christie, I appreciate you reading where you read from. 1 Corinthians 12. I understand. Things are done decently in order. If we all just speak in tongues and it comes an unbeliever, he's not going to understand. I get that. I understand the proper order. I understand the gifts of the Spirit. But I'm just going to speak some things. Sunday school teachers, when you're praying over young people and you feel the power and presence of God come over you, don't quench the Spirit. Don't hold it back. Don't think, well, these kids are not going to know what's going to happen. It's going to be real weird for them. If you feel the power, let the Spirit speak. You don't know what some of them are going home to. You don't know what may happen when they leave your care and they get out into this world. You need to allow the Spirit to speak. And if the Holy Ghost begins to move upon you, I really don't know what I'm saying. It really doesn't matter if you believe the Spirit knows and the Spirit understands. You just let the Spirit speak. Well, they're going to think I'm possessed. As long as they know what I'm possessed by, it is the power and presence of God. I've been in this thing long enough to know people will recognize the real deal. People will recognize the real deal. And though they may not understand what to do with it, and they may not understand how to feel about it, they'll recognize, wow, there's something different in that. That's not like anything I've ever felt before. That's not like anything I've ever experienced before. Why? Because when you come in contact with the undeniable power and presence of God, and when the Spirit speaks, things happen. Something begins to take place. I've been in those services where all of a sudden it begins to build, but then someone begins to speak in other tongues, and all of a sudden it's like the whole spiritual dimension begins to just expand rapidly. Preacher, you're getting all crazy. Am I? Just believe. The Bible says the Spirit speaks expressly in these latter times. See, there's going to be something that separates the real from the fake. It's going to be the undeniable manifestation of the power and presence of God. And I want to be a part of those. I've said it this way before. I'll continue to say, I don't want to just have the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost to have me. Because it's all about who the controlling party is. I'm from Florida, so this analogy works a little better in Florida, but as I've said it before, there's a big difference between saying I have an alligator and an alligator has me. Big difference between saying I have the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost has me. I don't know about you, but I'm not content with just having the Holy Ghost. Let me just say this. You can't lead the Holy Ghost because it won't go places you want to go sometimes. But if I am led by it, it will take me where I need to go. It will give me the words I need to say. When I'm submitted and I'm subjected to the power and presence of God, the Spirit will speak. And that's when things begin to happen. What would it be like if we had some individuals that were as possessed with the Holy Ghost as that man was with the unclean spirit? What kind of supernatural things would take place? Unrest and evil was rampant in that place. It had such an effect upon that place and the surrounding area that when they saw the man clothed and in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus, they asked Jesus to leave because they were afraid. What would happen on the other side? Someone like that man from the area of Gadarenes allowed the Holy Ghost to use them so much, and they became so possessed with the power of the Holy Ghost that their own identity was wrapped up in the Holy Ghost, and they did supernatural things in the power of the Holy Ghost, and they changed the whole territory around them, that instead of, in his case, them asking good to leave, everybody in the area says we need evil to leave. When the Spirit speaks, I don't know about you, but I'm interested in becoming more possessed of the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful. I know it will never lead me wrong, and it will never lead me astray. It may take me places my flesh doesn't want to go, and there may be initial resistance, but if I'll submit and I'll subject myself to it, and I'll say, you are truly my Lord and I serve you, I will not try to lead you, but I will be led of you. What kind of havoc would we reap in the spiritual domain of this world? You want to talk about striking fear in the heart of the kingdom of this world? Let somebody become possessed with the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. Somebody like a Jason, who the Bible says, these are they which turn the world upside down. What a shift would happen. What a shift would take place in the Spirit if we would allow the Spirit to speak, if we would become so submitted and subjected to the power of the Holy Ghost that I can't even speak for myself. It's the Spirit that's speaking for me. I don't even have my own identity anymore. So, under the influence of the power of the Holy Ghost. I want more. I want more. I want to be submitted more to the power of the Spirit. I'm really going to be able to help people more when I have more of the Holy Ghost working and operating in my life. I'm really going to be able to speak words that will encourage and help. When the Spirit speaks, when I allow the power of the Holy Ghost to do what it would do in my life, and I become under its influence, so the words that I say have an effect in the spirit realm. And the enemy of my soul fears every time I open my mouth, because he thinks, wait a second, there's been quite a few times of late when he opened his mouth and it wasn't him, it was the Spirit speaking. And when that happens, there's trouble. There's confrontation in the spirit realm. And I am no match. If we could really understand the power that we have in the Holy Ghost, we could really understand. Oh, we could tear down some strongholds. We could have such a spiritual effect.
Spirit, break us, come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for.
How long has it been since you've heard the Spirit speak?
To your heart, oh Jesus, there is nothing we want more.
Something. What's the origin? What's the source?
We want
I hope that I've subjected it up to the power of the Holy Ghost, that the origin of it is Spirit.
Holy Spirit, break us.
Spirit of the living God, speak.
Overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us. To your heart, oh Jesus, you're the nothing we want more. Holy Spirit, break us, come and overtake us, you're the one we're living up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
Along with Mark 5, the story is recorded in Luke chapter 8. I want to read to you the end of the story. Some of you might recall, let's have a Paul Harvey moment. And now the rest of the story. Luke 8:37, then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship, returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God had done unto thee. And he went his way, and he published, began to speak. Now the man speaks. Spirits are gone, and now the man begins to speak, and he begins to tell what great things God has done for him. He published them throughout the city, the Bible says. The whole city, how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass, catch this, the same people that had sent Jesus away and said, get out of here, depart from our coast. The same people that were full of great fear. This man, whom devils had been cast out, went throughout the whole city and told great things that Jesus had done. And it came to pass, Luke 8:40, that when Jesus returned, he came back. The whole city that had sent him away, get out of here. The people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. We sent him away before, but we didn't realize what we were doing. But because this man began to speak, not under the influence of the spirits and unclean spirits, but under the influence of what God had done in his life, now he began to speak. And as a result of him going throughout the whole city, now they gladly received him, and they're waiting on him. What a change. What a 180. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the understanding that when we allow you to speak through us, God, what a difference this made. Not just in us, not just in our household, but in the whole area around about us. There's a difference that happens in the spirit realm. In all honesty, the other day I was praying and I said, God, I have so much to take care of. I've got a family. You trusted me with great people in a church. God, I have so much to take care of. And I felt the Spirit speak to me and say this. If you'll take care of what concerns me, I'll take care of what concerns you. I'm thankful for those God moments when the Spirit speaks. And when I understand, wait a second, I get so busy doing so much stuff and trying to take care of so much, when I'll just put my focus right and I'll just allow the Spirit to speak, I'll understand. If I'll just take care of what concerns you, God, you'll take care of what concerns me. And before long, I'll realize just how the two of those are aligned. Hallelujah. One more time, can you lift your hands? If the Spirit would speak,
I encourage you in your prayer time. Don't let it be all you talking. At some point in time, you just meditate on the Lord and you allow the Spirit to speak. It's amazing how that in prayer, and many times when you begin to build yourselves up praying in the Holy Ghost and you begin to speak, and though you don't understand what comes out of your mouth, all of a sudden your heart begins to hear. All of a sudden you begin to understand quite clearly what's being said. Even though you don't understand the words that are coming out of your mouth, you understand what's being said to your heart. What a beautiful experience. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost in my life. Fill me up, God. Let me be submitted to your Spirit. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord tonight. May go in the precious name of Jesus.